Today we're going to talk about faith. Everybody get one of these? Hold it up, hold it up. That is for you all. Vicky had these made. She did a great job on these. I think Dean designed it. We'll give him credit too, I guess. And so whenever you meet someone that you don't know, you can just hand them one of these and invite them to church. And it has all the information. They can scan the QR code and it'll go right to our website and stuff. So it's just a little token that you can just even leave on a table when you get done eating at a restaurant. So thank you for doing that, Vicky and Dean. Yes, sir.
So they can get more in the foyer.
Yes, there's more out there if you want some. And I know what you guys are wondering. Where can you get one of these jerseys? That's only for the elite. John said, you're supposed to wear your Sunday's best. I did. We'll get you in a regular season. Playoffs is different, though. We got to get it going on the playoffs. How's your week been? Good. Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for filling in last week. He did a good job, as always. Of course, my mom is always, I was waiting to watch it online, and it wasn't online. I don't think Brandon, audio was. So it's a good thing. School's getting started back up. It's hot. Kristen asked what I did all day. I was going to come out here and weed eat, and it was hot. I've been shaving my head since I was in high school. So people think, well, you're growing a beard and all that stuff. You're trying to look like T.D. Jakes. And no, we've been doing that since high school with the little sideburns. And when the top of your head starts getting hot, now I'm used to hot. But when it starts just to like sizzle, it's time to go cool off. So she asked what I did all day. I said nothing. I just stayed in the AC and chilled. Today, we're talking about immovable faith. I like faith. Faith is a great subject. Something we're supposed to be living by. It's been given to us. That immovable faith, I mean, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is. That's like, you know, you can have that human immovable faith. Like, the Jayhawks aren't very good. But some of y'all would contradict that one pretty quick. And it don't matter how bad they play, you still going to be a fan. Right? I don't know why. K-State, all right. We got wars going on. Where do these wars come from? Now, there's two kingdoms here. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We operate in the kingdom of light. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into his dear son, into the kingdom of light. But fear drives the kingdom of darkness. Fear. Fear. If the enemy can get you into fear, he can cancel out your faith. You know, finish this phrase. Maybe y'all heard this before. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I heard somebody do this illustration, you know. Well, you can have a little fear in your life. Fear is good, but faith is supposed to override that. That faith overrides that fear all day long. Otherwise, you can't be able to receive what God has already given you. So I heard one day some guy talking about this, and said a bunch of kids were outside playing in the backyard and stuff like that. And no, actually, it was something different. It was more so they had made brownies, right? Dad had made brownies. Mom had made brownies. And they were eating that brownie up. But before they got to it, the dad said, hey, before you know, I said, all these ingredients that are in those brownies are good, but I did go outside and pick up a little dog poop mix it in with the brownies. How many of you think those kids ate all those brownies up? Would you eat those brownies? No, see, the thing is, just a little bit. Just kind of messes it all up. Just a little bit of fear will contaminate your whole faith. And that's where the enemy wants to get you. Just a little bit. If he can get you into fear, he can get you paralyzed. He'll neutralize you and will keep you from doing what you want to do, drawing closer to God. It'll keep you from doing that. Why? Because they're trying to condemn you of your sin. If he can just get you just a little bit of fear, Satan will try to back you into a corner with no way out. He will have people say the cruelest things to put all sorts of stuff on you, lie on you, tease you, embarrass you, shame you, intimidate you. We never allow the enemy and all those negative comments to live rent-free in our head. They're going to have to pay a price. Never allow those negative comments to enter into your head. There's a time when I used to play hoops. Growing up, play hoops. I played it all day long, 24/7, but 365 days out of the year I played for a long period. And when we get out there on the court, you know there's a few guys out there that would actually start talking smack. And they're trying to do, get in your head. As soon as they can get in your head, you take yourself out of the game. There'd be guys on it. I said, sometimes, you know, I always let my game do the talking. But then there was times when I didn't let my game do the talking. I was doing all the talking. And you get into people's head. And it was kind of fun. Because they just shut down. Don't even pass me the ball, man. Why? You right there in that face. Don't even pass the ball. He ain't getting the ball. We just shut him down. We just talk mess. But you know what? In other times, you let your game do the talking. Bust them a couple times. They stop talking. You say something. And a few times, anytime you whip the devil, when he's talking to you constantly, and you defeat him a few times, he'll stop talking. Well, I don't know why the devil keeps getting on me. I said, because you haven't bust him yet. You're going to have to bust a move. You're going to have to get after it. People will mentally check out of the game, and that's where the enemy wants you. He wants you to check out of the game. Why? Because you're worried about what other people are saying about you. How they may twist your words and try to get you into trouble. You know. Here's the thing. If you don't say something, they're going to say something anyways. They're going to talk about you anyways. If you're scared of that. They're going to say something anyways. They're going to say something negative. Who cares? When you let your game do the talking, the enemy does the walking. But one thing for sure, you never, ever fear anyone, especially the enemy. We are not inferior to anyone. God is our refuge and our strength, and he is always ready to help us in times of trouble. In John 14, open up your Bibles to that. We have it at Amplified version will be there. It says, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Now we know in Matthew 10, I believe it says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. But as he's leaving, he says, peace I leave with you. Our peace or his own peace? His own. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. That word bequeath just means to hand down. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Basically, stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. It says, do not let yourself. I said, so we can be agitated if we want to. We can be disturbed if we allow it. The world can't rattle you if you don't let them. They cannot rattle you at all. Nothing that the enemy throws at you. Scripture says in the last days that men's hearts will fail them. if your trust is in God, it won't rattle you at all. You won't be rattled by anything. Sometimes you just have to go without a care in the world and what someone may say about you. All the people who want to agitate you and irritate you, they can't get under your skin if you don't let them. So in every situation, the peace of God is always available to us because Jesus left it with us. So you no longer can say, I don't have any peace about this. Well, he left it with you. You can have peace about it. You may just not want to do it. You may not want to submit to that. You may not want to operate in that direction or what have you because you got something else in mind, but he's giving you peace. You can have peace about anything. You can get peace. It doesn't mean the problem is going to leave you right away, but in the midst of the storm, peace will have you focus on Jesus and not the problem. The peace of God will have you mowing in the midst of a tornado warning because you're not moved by what you say, what you see, and what you hear. I shared this before. Years ago, we were out here. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we had the youth out here, and we were in a tornado warning. So, of course, we don't have anything here. I grew up in California. I knew everything about earthquakes. We did our earthquake drills and stuff like that, tornadoes. Have no clue. We didn't have a basement. So we packed up and sent the kids out. They went straight home and everything. And I was driving as quick as I can because Kristen was over at her sister's house, Melanie's house, and we were all going there. I was just driving as quick as I can. I said, I got to get there. And you could see all the darkness over there, south of Hayes and stuff. Like, I was like, man. And they lived south of Hayes. I was like, okay. I'm driving right into that. But I remember how it made me feel. I felt like a coward. Because I remember the story about Jesus speaking to the storm. So one day, you do some repent of that. And I'm doing some studying and research and listening. I believe it was Creflo at that time, and he talked about how he had rebuked a tornado, and that got me fired up. I said, yeah. I'm thinking, what am I running for? I know who I am in Christ. Why am I running? And I kid you not, I felt like Picklesville after that. Anybody know who Picklesville is? Ride tornadoes, man. And so the next time there was a tornado warning, I'm out there on the porch like everybody else. Only in Kansas where they do that. They're standing out there looking, whoa, shall we get in our car and chase it? I just began mowing my lawn. I was mowing my lawn before, tornado warning going off. Nah, I'm cool. Why? Because I know who I am. Ain't no tornado coming here. But you think you better. No. That's who you are in Christ. That's immovable faith. That faith should not change your perception of who God is and what he can do through you. Regardless of what you see. Faith speaks and demonstrates the word of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. We know the Corinthian church is one of the most carnal churches there. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It wasn't this grandiose presentation that Paul came to give to the Corinthians. It wasn't something very, very deep. Just Jesus Christ and him crucified. Sometimes the most simplest message is fine. We just got to allow the anointing to do the work. We can have big old persuasive words and everything else, but yet no one get delivered. See, the anointing is what removes the yoke, breaks the yoke and removes the burden. Paul came and preached the simple message of Jesus being crucified, and he demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit. True faith relies on the power of God and the ability to transform a person into the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. True faith believes in the character of God and who he is. Paul didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. See, faith in God will separate you from the haves and the have-nots. People can say, I have faith, but show me your faith. Man's wisdom and persuasive speeches does not cut it. So people can be moved by the speech of others, but there is no power that's backing up what they're saying. So there has to be evidence. This faith stuff has to work. It has to work. It has to work. So when we place our faith in the power of God, not in just what he can do, but also who he is, so how come we don't see that as much in people's lives? Well, we don't necessarily teach that faith stuff here. We don't believe that stuff is for today. God can heal sometimes, but you know, not all the time. Sometimes he might want a break. Sometimes we might just drain all the power from heaven. People will come up so many excuses and they put all the blame on God, but it's really on us. And whether or not we want to receive it. We get in the way. We limit God. Not here, not at Westview. But people will limit God. That's my granddaughter. Some people would much rather hear preaching and teaching with persuasive words filled with human wisdom than to hear the gospel of the kingdom of God being preached and demonstrated. We don't have to get very deep. But it is the Spirit who searches the deep things of God. Jesus spoke in parables. They were deep, but yet they were still easy to understand. We understand about the parable, the granddaddy of all parables. The sower goes out and sows the word of God, sows the seed. That's a pretty easy parable. So here's the thing. What are you communicating when everything is going good in your life? What are you posting? What are you reading? What are you texting? What are you doing when everything is good in your life, man? When everything's good in your life, man, shoot. It's good. But does the message stay the same? Are your emotions leading you in that moment, or is it the word of God? Because when everything's good, your emotions are good. Man, when you just close a big deal on your job, your emotions will get you. What up, Richard? What's going on, man? Good to see you, bro. What's up, Jay? You got a little pep in your step. Why? Because everything's good. But is it the same way when things are going bad? What if you didn't close that deal? What if you might be fired? Are you still doing that? Yep. What's going on, brother? Is your focus on Jesus or is it on your problems? See, our emotions can dictate a whole lot of stuff in our lives. It's okay to have emotions because God gave us emotions. We can't deny that. But we can't allow our emotions to control us and lead us to a place to where it may cause us to miss it. Consistency is the key. Emotions don't always have to be a negative sense. Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed people. He was moved with compassion and he fed them. You shouldn't deny your emotions, but never allow it to control you. So it doesn't matter what people think about you or what they say about you or how they look at you. Faith sees what God sees. Faith says what God says. Faith thinks the way that God thinks. Faith moves the way that God moves. Faith creates the way God creates. Faith imitates Jesus and is always will be in the now. Hope is future tense. Faith is present tense. It is now. I know God is going to do it. I know he said he will. But will he? No. I know God has done it already, and I receive it right here, right now. I receive my salvation. I receive my deliverance. I receive my healing. It's always present tense. Someone once said, I think it was Jenny Mayo, she said, to the Israelites, Goliath was too big to hit. But to David, he was too big to miss. Faith is now. In Daniel 3, it says this, I will give you one more chance. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he had put out a decree that if they played all the musical instruments, you must bow down to that big old statue. I love these kids. Man, these are teenagers. If you bow down to this big old statue, he says, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? If you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. How many of you know their backs are against the wall right there? If you don't do what we do, if you don't do what we say to do, we're going to fire you. If you don't cater to what we want, we're going to smear your name. If you don't want to do what we want you to do right now, then we are going to tell everybody a big old fat lie. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. We don't need to explain ourselves. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. So just like the enemy tried to give the children of God an ultimatum, what God will be able to save you? King Nebuchadnezzar says, the God whom we serve. Do we serve the same God? We serve the same God. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. We serve the same God. If you don't bow down, we will throw you into the blazing furnace. When they believe that you will be living with that infirmity for the rest of your life, the God whom you serve is able to heal you. When the enemy has surrounded you on all sides, the God whom you serve is able to protect and deliver you. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to back down. Even if the government may say, you can't get together and have church anymore. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to bow down. We're going to continue to do it. Even if they try to bring something else out in order to wipe out a third of the nation, we still won't back down. Well, how can you say that? Well, you better get in agreement with it. We will never yield to the enemy's bully tactics. People will say, you know, sometimes people's mouths get them in trouble. They're in good company. Jesus' mouth got him in trouble. What was he saying? What was he doing? They didn't like what he said. That's throughout all the scriptures. People didn't like what the prophet said. Even though they were prophets of God, they did not like them. Religious leaders did not like the apostles. Some people just aren't going to like what you say. You could be just quoting scripture. And they get triggered. Well, you know, the money is the root of all evil. No, no, no. It's the love of money. Well, why do you have money? Well, because we need it. I mean, I don't know how you put money, gas in your car. They won't take my peanuts. They take dinero. I don't know how you make your house payment. But the bank is going to take money. I don't know how you eat. You better get that sign down and go to work. You can DoorDash. Good grief. But Pastor, what if my faith is weak? Well, that's a lie that you've been believing. God didn't give you weak faith. He gave you immovable faith. He gave you strong faith. He gave you that pit bull faith. See, the enemy has tricked you if you believe that your faith is weak. But if you never spend time developing your faith, it might appear to be weak, but it's just underdeveloped like muscles that aren't being used. So you're going to have to whoop up on the devil a little bit. You get a headache, apply your faith. Don't try to do it in your own power. It's easy to pop a pill. I started out with migraines. I used to get migraines every time, tunnel visions. Straight to a dark room. Then I started using my faith. And finally I got fed up with it, came out here and worshiped for an hour and a half with the music blasting. Don't tell Dean. Because they exceeded the limit. Haven't had one in over 15 years. You have to start developing your faith. Just little areas, little wins here and there. You keep whooping up on the devil, he ain't gonna mess with you. You're gonna get too expensive to deal with. I like that. So you ask yourself this question. In the past year, have I moved closer to God or away from him? Personally. See, the closer you move to God, the stronger your faith in him will be. The closer you move to him. See, we have anybody work with the Bluetooth? You know how to use Bluetooth? Everybody knows how to do that? Yeah. I have it in my truck. My wife has it in her car. And then sometimes when I use her car. I don't drive her car a lot, but when I was driving the White Ghost, her car was a whole lot better. And I would take her car and then her Bluetooth, her phone would be connected to the Bluetooth still because she was the last one out and it would just pop on. Like turn on the vehicle, it'll come on. So she's over here jamming out. I can listen to what she was just jamming out beforehand and usually it's just some praise and worship and glory to God. No, it's like the 60s. That's right. But that's cool. But here's the thing. If I want to connect my phone, depending on where I'm going, I'll connect my phone. So I got to disconnect her Bluetooth, her phone, from the Bluetooth and pair mine up. But then there's other times when I didn't want to connect my phone, but I would leave hers on, and then I end up driving off. I get in the her car or vehicle, and then I'll just drive off. And the further away that I got from her phone, the source, the weaker the connection was. And then it just ultimately just dropped out. And the further away we get away from God, it seems like the weaker our connection is with him. So if you drive back on over, back up a little bit or what have you, that connection will stay strong. Or just go rip the phone out of her hand and no, it's fine. But see, it's not like God never left us, because he hasn't. If we draw closer to him, he will draw. But if you feel that your faith is weak, it's might because the connection isn't as strong as you thought it was. So how do you get that connection back? Spending time with him. That's on your own time. Forget all the noise. If people try to make it out to be you isolating yourself, yeah, well, I'm in prayer. I'm not worried about what you're saying. I'm just connecting with God. Well, you got to connect all day. We got something planned for you. No, I'm going to connect with God. Why? Because it's a relationship. See, I don't spend much time out here during the week. I spend time at home. It's lonely out here. I mean, there's like nobody out there, and you hear noise. It's like, hey, what is that? You know, black folks ain't going to go check that out. Black folks are different. I'm just saying. White people, whoa, what is that? Hey, we hear a noise. Hey, time to go. Wrap it up. So I'll spend time at home. Spend time with our grandson. Spend time in the Word. Connecting. So your faith is stronger. Faith in him. Not just what he can do, but just in who he is. You're connecting. Everyone does that. You feel distant from the Lord, just get right back. On the way, when you're driving to one of your kids' games, just connect with them. When you're in the shower, just connect with them. When you're watching the Bills whip up on the Chiefs, at intermission, just connect with them. You're still his child. He still loves you. He still has plans for you. You know, his word says our giftings and callings are irrevocable. He doesn't take back what he's given you to be able to impact other people's lives. That's always been in you. Just stay connected. And the stronger your faith in him will be, not in yourselves. The more we get away from him, the stronger our faith. We might get bold within our own strength. But the closer we are to him, we're a little more vulnerable. We're a lot more pliable. Now he can mold and shape us into who he wants us to be rather than what other people want us to be. He can soften the hardest hearts. I used to be stubborn. Don't give me that look. I said used to. She's like, you still are. Stubborn in my faith. So if you feel like, man, I just don't have any kind of relationship with him, get connected again. How so? Just open up your mouth and just say, Lord, I need you. I miss you. And just sit and listen. He'll begin to speak to your spirit. And it may be a few words. It may be. But let him do the talking. Just listen for his voice. And whatever he tells you to do, do. And you got to trust him. But I guarantee you, it's going to be something that's going to move you to a place to where you're going to have to depend on him 100%. It's going to be something big. We can do the small things. I can do the small things in my own faith. But he's going to require something big out of you. Stay connected. That immovable faith. Those kids didn't get burned up. The God we serve will save us. If you feel like you've been going through a trial, a fiery trial, it's not going to burn you. You'll come out of that unsinged. You feel like your life is falling apart? That's all right. You're here. To live another day, to fight another day, to praise another day, you're here. That's something to shout about. The enemy tried to take you out and he couldn't. Immovable faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And you are a good pastor, too.
Amen. You need to call the last pastor up and tell him that. Hallelujah. Be bold. Be courageous. And speak the end result of what you want to see. Faith is now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to impact a lot of people. More than you know. Because of your faith in God. A lot. Thank you, Jesus. You win your tournament? Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody in here having heart problems? No. Hallelujah. Well, we command healing right now, flowing in your heart. Unclogged. Blood flowing freely, pumping, operating the way it should in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for full restoration in our heart. Unclogged arteries in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Kidneys. We speak to kidneys. We command those to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hips. We command them to be healed and restored and strengthened in the name of Jesus. You may be walking and it might pop out of place. It's going to pop right back in and it's going to strengthen when you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your healing power, Lord. It doesn't just stop here. It continues as they leave this place and they're driving home, Lord. You don't ever stop working in our lives. We thank you that they have the boldness to be able to come to your throne of grace and spend some precious time with you. Whatever they need, Lord, you've already delivered to them. Help them to receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Immovable faith. Time to act on it. So I'm going to challenge y'all. I'm going to make y'all very uncomfortable right now. Get on out and pray for somebody before you leave. Just speak God's word over their life. Someone you don't know. And just speak God's word over their life. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. He will tell you what to say. And receive it by faith. Amen? All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Speak over their life.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.